by for Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with your host, True Kirby.
Hey, this is Luke Holmes.
I am Morgan Wallen.
I'm Riley Green.
I'm Travis Denning.
Hey, I'm Aaron Lewis.
Hey, it's Luke Bryan.
I'm Tim McGraw.
What's up? This is Ian Munsick.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Here we go. Another week of Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors. And Janet Millick is with us. And Janet, it is a fun time of year as September is the lead to a lot of hunting seasons.
It is. And, you know, everybody's out enjoying a little bit cooler weather. We're on the ground in Wyoming where we just get to, you know, enjoy some of the great vistas that we have out, you know, open outdoor country and just so many wild things. And so it's just a favorite time of year for sure. And because Wyoming has that, we often get to attract fantastic people coming to our state.
Yeah, we mention a lot that Game and Fish is on the ground year-round doing research and collecting data and making sure that everything is proper for the next year's hunting seasons. And, you know, to do that, you got to have the manpower or woman power to do that, Janet.
That's right. And, you know, one of the things that Wyoming Game and Fish does is, you know, we manage Wyoming's wildlife for the people. It is owned by the people. And so we always keep that in the back of our mind. And hunting is just one of those tools that we use in the toolbox to keep our populations healthy and in check. And it's always interesting to get to know new people as they apply to the agency or come into the agency. And today I want to introduce you to Kylie Sinclair, who is our new Casper District biologist. And those who have been following as listeners for the many years that we've been doing this know that we've been through a little bit of flux here in the Casper region over the last several years as people have been moving up within the agency and shifting in and out. And it's been a really fun adventure to meet and learn new people. And Kylie is one of those. And so we invited her here today to get to know her publics a little bit more.
Yeah, Kylie, we will be working with you a lot over the next little while to get prepared for the 2026 year. And how are you fitting in here in the Casper region?
I think good. Yeah, it's been fun so far. Only been here a few months, but really enjoying it and getting to know the people I'm working with, both in the agency and outside of it.
What's a little bit of your background? You're a Wyoming native, correct?
Yes. Yep. I actually grew up in Gillette, so not too far away. And I spent some time in the Casper region growing up, too. My grandma lived here. So it's a familiar area. So it's really fun to get back to that.
Wildlife biology is, it's an interesting field to be in. I know that you have to have your fingers in a lot of different parts of the outdoor world. And what are you looking forward to here in Casper hitting the ground running?
And that is exactly what she is doing, Drew, is hitting the ground running. You know, her position was vacant for a little while. And so just because we were shifting all those positions around. And so Kylie has had a lot on her plate, not only because she's only been here a couple months, but immediately after she started, her supervisor ended up having a fantastic little baby girl and so is out spending some time with family. And so Kylie is getting to figure out a lot of this stuff on her own. And so it's been a really fun experience to see Kylie's enthusiasm and really the way she's looking at things through a new lens, right? She comes to us with a master's degree, which really brings a lot of fantastic math, statistics, research development, as well as you heard her general passion for Wyoming since she was, you know, born and raised here and has spent some time outside of Wyoming. And so being back is just super fantastic. And so, you know, these lenses that Kylie has really shapes and forms what she hopes to do. And as we talk about a lot on the show, Drew, chronic wasting disease is huge in the Casper region, as well as wanting to do some habitat work and things like that. And so, you know, Kylie's just getting her feet wet right now. And what do you think, Kylie? What are some things that you're excited to tackle within our region?
Yeah, I'm kind of taking this first year just to get to know the area, get familiar with it, and the populations here and what's going on, and kind of learning how the organization works. But already I'm kind of thinking out some ideas for some research and things like that. So I'm really, really excited to be able to look forward to doing that. I'm glad that's something that this agency really encourages, is looking into learning more and how we can better manage these populations.
And I know you've had a great group of people prior to you to get to this point. So they've laid a little bit of the hard work and the groundwork. You know, I know the turkey situation here has probably come up a time or two in your conversations. And, you know, and I know that the fact that we've had lower populations of antelope and deer over the last few years. So really, there's a lot of things for you to really look at and get started on.
Absolutely. Yeah, a lot of projects to look into. But that's what keeps it exciting. It's always having something to look forward to. So I really enjoy that.
And Drew, you weren't supposed to mention the turkeys yet. I mean, she hasn't, you know, we're just now going into like the school crossing issues that we have and all of that with the turkeys. And so you were supposed to keep that quiet because she hasn't been fully, you know, exposed to that yet. But no, she's tackling all of that really well and really thinking, like I said, outside of the box to come up with some new and different ideas. And, that's what's pretty fantastic is, you know, like Kylie mentioned, she is taking her time and really getting to know a lot of the people that we work with. You know, we have in the Game and Fish Department, as people recognize, we have all of these different partners that we have to work with across the board, right? So we have other agencies, federal partners, state partners, private partners that we double up with, as well as landowners, and just the general public. And so it's her spending the time to get to know all of her constituents and their views and opinions and what they would like to see, and then really shaping and forming her own ideas and opinions on where to go. She has yet to be through a season setting period with us. And so it will be super fantastic because she'll have, you know, a hunting season underneath her by the time we start that process that coming up, you know, this next January, February, March. And so I really encourage people out there just to come and meet Kylie and really, you know, voice your opinion, even do it now. Stop by the office and meet Kylie. Because all of that really does help us as we often talk about, Drew.
Yeah. Kylie, Janet mentioned earlier, you're going to get a full hunting season under your belt. What are you kind of looking forward to over the next few months of getting out there and really getting your hands dirty?
Yeah. I'm really excited to get out in the field and run into hunters, see what they're seeing. It'll be fun to hear from new hunters that haven't been in the area, as well as the ones that have repeatedly come back here and kind of see changes that they think they're seeing on the ground and learning from that. So that'll be really exciting. And then just an opportunity to just spend more time in my district and getting to know it.
Have you had a chance to get out and just kind of ride the roads a little bit?
I have, not quite as much as I'd like. I've definitely found that there's always plenty to do. So sometimes it's been a little harder to get outside than I'd like. But this will be another thing that I'm really excited about with hunting season is this is a time where I need to be out in the field. So
one of the things, Drew, that Kylie is talking about is there's so much that to the job that people often don't realize, right? They kind of think that when you work for the Wyoming Game and Fish Department, you just get to be in a green truck outdoors 24/7. And there are a lot of other responsibilities that come along, like finishing up reports from how the hunting season last year went, writing surveys that go out to the public about what they might want to see. And Kylie is starting to get exposed. A lot of what we deal with here in Casper are a lot of the nuisance calls that we get, right? The cripple calls, we often call them. So whether it's a turkey that has been hit in the middle of town or an unfortunate incident where a pronghorn may be on the way to Alcova, Kylie has to respond to a lot of those calls. And so that does end up eating up a lot of your day. And so we're indoctrinating her on a lot of that, as well as kind of getting familiar with a lot of the stuff on paper as well as outdoors.
Well, Kylie, I hope they gave you a good green truck and not one that Justin or Brandon beat up.
If only you knew. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they high graded themselves and took anything that was better and gave Kylie what was left. So
that's the newbie in it, is you get the turd of the green truck.
Exactly. But the good news is Kylie runs circles around them. And so give her a month or two and they're going to be wishing that they gave her the good green tech, because she's going to be peeling out around them when they're trying to figure out how to put it in drive.
Well, Kylie, welcome to the region. And of course, you can go meet up with Kylie if you have questions or you have concerns. Or, of course, you can always interact at wgfd.wild.gov. But, Kylie, welcome in.
Thank you. Yeah, really excited to be here and looking forward to getting to know more people.
It's Wyoming Hookin' and Huntin' Outdoors.
It's Drew along with Brian Woodward for Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. Brian, I've seen a lot of pictures where folks have been getting their first antelope. I've seen some folks out doing some dove hunting, and it's just been a pretty active month already.
Yeah, it's really kind of fun to talk to people as they're coming in here. We've seen some really nice bighorn sheep that have been harvested, and seeing some nice mule deer. Bow hunters are out there in full force, and it's a great time of year.
We know that fishing still isn't off the table, as you were just out with a bunch of police officers here up at Pathfinder. So, I mean, obviously the fishing is still good.
Yeah, they weren't there, with me. I was there helping. I mean, they weren't called out for me.
They didn't follow you there.
Right. No, we did have a really good event out there, and thanks to Chase Johnson for organizing that event. But it's nice to be able to pay it back to some of these officers. They help us out an awful lot throughout the year.
And I know that there are a lot of officers that come into the store probably on a weekly basis to maybe look at the latest equipment that you guys have in, or maybe ideas on optics or a scope or anything.
Well, this is always a good place. Just if you got a few minutes to spare, whether you're dropping a kid off at school or waiting to pick them up, wander through the store. You kind of decompress a little bit and add things to your wish list.
We've got a lot to discuss when it comes to hunting, because there are so many different levels of hunting. We talk about the guys that are bringing their bows in to get them serviced or to get into the range and get them sighted in, and then you go right to the rifles and those that are trying to get their ammunition. So it's just kind of a whirlwind here in the store.
There's a lot going on, and people are in different stages of their hunting prep. I've noticed a lot of hunting clothing and boots and stuff going out this last couple weeks here. We talked about the boot situation in the past, where you want to be able to put some miles on these boots to break them in, so that you're not make sure they're not just going to rub you the wrong way. But then there's also just a lot of guys that are got old boots that are getting the conditioner put on them, maybe some waterproofing, that type of stuff. So it's good to see the guys that are out here getting prepped, getting their clothes, getting their new socks. That had a guy bring in some darn tough socks that had some holes in them, and they offer a lifetime warranty, so we got that guy taken care of. And packs, just about a little bit about everything.
One of the weird parts about this time here in Wyoming is it feels like deep fall when you wake up in the morning. I mean, we're talking in the upper 40s sometimes. Mm-hmm. You get in the higher elevations and there's even snow falling.
Yeah, I mean, this is the time of year where layering up and having the ability to cover up, you might get an afternoon rainstorm. It's just good to be prepared.
So we always talk about that, being prepared. That's one of the probably the most important parts of going out hunting, whether or not you're in a truck or you're going in the backcountry. And we just saw some pictures a little ago of the ram that was taken from Brian. And, boy, they were in some thick stuff at a weird time of the year.
Well, that bighorn sheep hunting is like nothing else, and it's really a strange, it's unfortunate that it takes so many years to draw that darn tag, so it seems like most guys that are drawing that tags are 60 or 70 years old. And even when you're at that age, trying to stay in that kind of condition to be able to hike those kind of mountains and hills, and especially when you're walking on a lot of shale and steep inclines, it's tough on a person. And I think the guys that are successful typically are using an outfitter that provides you the equipment and the knowledge and the know-how and maybe an extra guy or two to help you along the way. And I think that's really important, especially in bighorn sheep, to have a successful hunt is to hire the right guys to get you there.
And, you know, really to be prepared for that, you know, because you're going to get about anything and everything. So clothing is important. Boots are important. You know, it could be your trekking poles important or, you know, I mean, all kinds of spotting scopes. You got to have it all.
That's just to get to the animal. And then you got to be able to put a shot on an animal and, you know, have a gun that's sighted in properly. And yeah, there's, you know, there's a lot to hunting in general that a lot of people just either forget or, you know, if they've never been in the field, that just don't know what it takes to really have a good, successful hunt. But, you know, the guys that I've been talking to are doing it right. You know, they're exercising, they're getting in shape. They're, you know, trying to get the cardio up and keep their strength up. And, you know, so far everyone's knock on wood, had a good, healthy season so far.
So we've got a lot going on right now, and whether it's hunting or maybe you didn't draw this year, maybe you've been doing some upland bird hunting, and maybe it's going to be turkey later on or duck and goose, which that's just right around the corner too. So, you know, making sure you got all your equipment for that ready.
Well, and just making sure you have all the appropriate licenses, you know, I mean, as a guy that likes to do a lot of waterfowl hunting, you know, you got to have your bird license, you know, so a lot of times you get your combination bird and small game, but then you got to get a duck stamp, and then you got to have a hip permit. And if you're hunting grouse, you have to have a permit, you know, so there's a lot of requirements to be legal in the field to make your trip enjoyable. We do have all of those available here, so we can help you get the duck stamp and your hip permit, that kind of stuff. Hip permit you can do at home as well, but any migratory bird, you got to have that filled out for and give them the last year's survey of, you know, what you did.
So obviously, if you know, in Wyoming, huge on outdoors, obviously why most people live here, a lot of people live here, and if you have a youngster that's really just kind of getting this hankering to want to get out and go hunting, and that small game, that probably is a great place to get started, and you guys have everything you need for that too.
Yep, small game licenses obviously are available through the checkout counter there. You know, we've got different firearms that would be compatible for whether you're hunting rabbits or just prairie dogs or whatever critter you're looking for. But we got lots of great ammunition selections right now. The guns are just about as full as I've ever seen them. Lots of good options at all price levels. We do accept trades, so if you have an old gun that you've either outgrown or just don't shoot anymore, you can bring it into the store and we can give you a trade value towards another firearm. So those are all options, and of course we have layaway, so if you are looking, found the gun that you wanted but it maybe was a little bit more than you wanted to spend right now, there is that opportunity to put it on layaway and make some payments.
Yeah, so get on in here and check them out at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. Whether you're just starting or whether you're an old cooter that's just out, you know, for the hunt again, trying to get started, come on in and see them here, Rocky Mountain Discount Sports.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's Drew and Brian back at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, and Brian, you've been out doing some fishing. You've been looking at hunting, and you know we both have some elk tags to fill this fall. And you know, really, the best part of where we hunt is it's all pretty much provided. But a lot of guys are out trying to figure out their shooting game, trying to figure out the rifle they want to take, the shell that they want to shoot, and really, it's not just walk in, grab a gun, grab some shells, and go.
Yeah, I mean, ideally, it'd be nice if every gun shot every type of ammo equally and as well. But, yeah, there's some variations, you know. I mean, some guys, you know, grew up with the old Remington Core Lock, and that's what they want to shoot. But maybe they bought a new gun, or maybe in the last couple of years it's been reformulated. The company has been sold a couple different times. And, you know, so being able to get out to the range, and I think that's, you know, the biggest thing factor right now is to get out there. Maybe you only need to throw three rounds down the range just to make sure that the gun's still sighted in, or that the new box of ammo that you got is shooting as accurately as the last box. I know there's some guys that are super picky about making sure that when they do buy ammo, it's all the same lot number. You know, so if they find a, you know, they go out and they grab a box, they shoot it, and it shoots well, they come back and they buy four more boxes, you know, verifying that the lot number is all the same. There's you know, a little bit to kind of consider in that. There is quite a few of the newer calibers that seem to not really matter as much as to the accuracy between the different brands of ammunition. The bullet and the cartridge, it just seems to work well in pretty much everything. But if you haven't resighted your gun in for this year, you know, Stuckanoff's is a great place to do that. Of course, there's other out, you know, BLM areas that you can do that. But Stuckanoff's is a great opportunity to get that done, and I highly recommend doing that before your rifle season opens.
I've heard from a lot of people that listen to this show because they like the fact that they may not know much about the outdoors. Maybe they're new to Wyoming. You talk about a lot of the different calibers, and I think a lot of people get a little overwhelmed with that, because you'll hear one guy on Facebook, he'll just rant and rave about shooting a 6.5 Creedmoor. Can you break down a little bit about what those dilemmas are when it comes to the calibers?
I think in a lot of cases it comes down to ethics in general. You know, the Creedmoor, when it came out, it was super popular. It was a super accurate gun, whether it was a $400 gun or a $2,000 gun. You know, I'd see guys bring their buddies back in. They're like, yeah, that's the gun right there, buddy. That's the one that we shot, you know, three holes in a size of a nickel, you know. And I mean, okay, that's great. But then on the flip side, I've also heard, you know, those guys talk, different guys talking to their buddies going, yeah, they call that the bleed more because it's injured more animals out there. The reality is it comes down to ethics, right? I mean, whether you're an archery hunter or a rifle shooter or shotgunner or whatever the case is, there's shots that should or shouldn't be taken because of the distance, the way the animal's quartered, the shot placement. The distance is a big thing. You know, a guy takes a 6.5 Creedmoor. I mean, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. I was with Burris and down in Greeley, and I was shooting Creedmoors out to 1,100 yards. I mean, we were hitting targets, bing, bing, bing. Like, it didn't matter what you could almost sneeze and still hit the target. I mean, mm-hmm. It was, like, so accurate. But that doesn't mean you can shoot an animal at 1,100 yards.
Right.
You know, the bullets can only perform at certain distances with certain speeds. And, you know, I mean, if you're shooting a Creedmoor at an elk at over 400 yards, it's probably not the most ethical shot. Not saying it can't be done. Not everybody can do that. You know, a lot of guys put their rifle away at the end of last season, won't bring it out, maybe not even go to the range and sight it in again. You know, so the caliber isn't so much of an issue as the ethics behind it. You know, I shoot a little bit. I don't shoot a lot, but I don't feel that comfortable shooting outside of over 400 yards. You know, 500 is a stretch for me. But other guys with the same caliber gun be like, oh, yeah, we shoot that to 650, 700 all the time.
And then it goes back to where you feel comfortable. And, you know, a lot of it just falls on your own back. So if you're not going to shoot that 6.5 Creedmoor at the, you know, 1,100 yards, mm-hmm. what would you choose at the next level, I guess?
You know, it depends on what you're shooting, like critter-wise, you know, if you're shooting coyotes, you know, the 204s, 22-250s, real popular. Of course, there's a bunch of oddball ones in there now, 22 arc. I mean, there's a bunch of new ones out there. I like picking calibers that I am not going to have a problem finding ammo. If I get a general elk tag and I head to Saratoga and I forgot my ammunition for my 300 Win Mag, mm-hmm. somebody down there is probably going to have it. Now, if I was using some type of a wildcat, you know, round that, you know, I generally hand load, I don't want to ruin my trip because I can't find it down there.
Right.
You know, so, you know, everybody's got their preference. You know, grandpa grew up with the 30-06, you know, mm-hmm. my dad has a 270. I mean, killed a lot of animals, antelope, deer, and elk with a 270. You know, 300 Win Mag, 7 Mag, those are kind of the most popular leading up to the last few years when all the PRC rounds came out. So now you got a 6.5 PRC, a 300 PRC, a 7 PRC, all great calibers, all seem to be shooting and performing probably way better than a person can actually shoot them. I look at my shooting ability as that, hey, if I can hit a 3-inch spot on an animal, right. then, hey, I'm going to be able to kill it at whatever distance.
So it worries me a little on some shots, and we've taken shots that have been going uphill one time, going mm-hmm. downhill one time. The wind plays a factor into that, and
oh, yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't feel comfortable shooting over 500 yards with the wind blowing like mm-hmm. that. So, or even standing, I'd rather be laying. I mean, it's just so many different.
Yeah, in Wyoming for sure, the wind is, you know, probably the biggest challenge, you know. And if you get some training, maybe watch some YouTube videos, you get the right wind reading, you know, whether it's, you know, through an app of some sort, knowing what your angled compensation is. So, you know, when we are shooting up these cliffs or shooting down these cliffs, you know, having the right rangefinder that will give you that angle compensation, that will tell you that, yeah, I mean, on a straight line of sight, you're 300 yards, but really it's going to shoot like 240. And so you can adjust that scope so that you can make that proper shot. So there is a lot of technology out there that, you know, depending on the type of terrain you're hunting on, that you may need to educate yourself a little bit better on how to better take an opportunity through your scope.
Right. Well, and there's so many things that I think a lot of young hunters or maybe even experienced hunters with new guns don't think about when it comes to those types of situations. And we've talked a lot where guys maybe won't, you know, get a tag for 3 or 4 years because they're not mm-hmm. getting the draw, and you kind of forget some things as you go through there.
Well, and like I said, in the last 3 or 4 years, you know, ammo manufacturers have really had challenges with for themselves finding the right powder that they were using in these loads in the past. Bullet types might be different, the primer might be different, it might be burning faster, it might be burning slower, and it changes the velocity and the coefficients of the bullet. So just because you always ran, you know, ammunition XYZ, it may perform differently now just because it's got a different mix of, you know, how it was put together.
So have you seen a lot of guys taking up the loading option? Because, I mean, you don't need to load a whole lot to go big game hunting, I wouldn't think.
You know, reloading is definitely a commitment a person has to make if that's what they choose to do. It for a guy that really is worried about accuracy, a lot of the PRS shooting guys, the guys that are just really trying to shoot a mile or 2 miles out there, mm-hmm. They like playing around with those loads and adjusting their powders and the different bullet compensations and bullet types. And personally, I'm the type that just like, hey, my time is limited. I don't have time to sit down and build 3 rounds and then go shoot it, see how they perform. Nope, let's change it. Let's build 3 more rounds, go change it. I'd rather just go to the shelf. The factory ammunition in most cases is fantastic. And so I like being able to just have that ability to just go gear up. I may have to resight every year just to maybe tweak something a half an inch right or left, or maybe it's up and down, who knows. You know, the reloading anymore, it seems like it's not any cheaper. It used to be cheaper to get into reloading and to, you know, buy your own powder and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But anymore, I mean, just the startup cost alone, if you didn't, you know, if you weren't handed down by grandpa his RCBS reloading dies and equipment, it's kind of expensive to get going, you know. So you got to buy the reloader, then you got to buy the brass, and you got to find the primers, then you got to get the powder. And, you know, that powder didn't work, so now I got to buy another pound of kit powder. And there's a lot to it, but some people's minds work that way where that's what they like tinkering. Yeah. You know, they like, mm-hmm. they need that project at home and something to do. There's a couple guys here at the store that are super knowledgeable on that stuff. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I'm not that guy, but, they can tell you about powder rates, how burn rates, they can tell you about different bullets that they've used how they're performing, and what you might be looking for based on the situation that you're loading for.
Or you can walk over to the ammo aisle and just pick up a box.
Grab one off the shelf and say, thank you, Hornady, for providing me a good ammunition. Yeah.
And I don't have to lose sleep over the next 6 weeks because I'm loading.
Again, but, you know, my time is different than other people's time. And, you know, we do have got a lot of older customers that are, you know, retired, and that's just what they do. They, you know, they come in and they bring their target in. It's like, look at this gun. I mean, I finally found a load, and this is what it's doing. It's awesome. Like, Okay, congratulations. That's awesome.
It's only taken me 55 years.
Yeah. It's like, well, I need another pound of this powder. I'm like, they discontinued it. It doesn't exist anymore.
In 1987. Well, if you have any question, like Brian said, and the knowledgeable folks here, maybe you're looking for that new gun, you can go check it out. And probably the largest selection of guns in Casper in the state of Wyoming here at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. Come on by.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
All right, we're back at Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors. Again, you can go to our app and download and listen to all of our episodes over the last few years on demand in the radio station's app. Today we have Bud from Lock, Stock, and Barrel in Cody, big time auction house there. And Bud, thanks for coming on.
Oh, no, thanks for having me.
Bud, you got a big event coming up this month that I think a lot of people will want to make the trip to Cody to see.
I think so, too. You know, we've been selling, I believe the company incorporated in 2007, and most of our auctions have been online auctions on gunauction.com, gunbroker.com. We still are doing auctions on GunBroker every 2 weeks. But we have some consigners, and we have some items that are more suited to a live auction format. And so we started doing live auctions. We had our first live auction back in Simi Valley, California, and that was our last live auction in California. we made the move out here to Cody just because California's not a place to do that anymore.
Right.
And so now we're going to have our fourth live auction at the Cody Auditorium. We've got a little over 800 items, all over the place, from World War I trench knives, trench shotguns, to some extraordinary Winchesters. One of my favorites, we've got a full nickel Winchester 1866. Oh. Not something you see a whole lot. So we've got just a ton of items that from all over the spectrum of guns and gun related accessories, and it's all going to be at the Cody Auditorium on the 27th and 28th.
Bud, let me ask you, like, that's a lot, over 800 items there. Where do you come across these? How do you get these in your possession?
We get them from all across the country. So when the company started, the founder Spencer was very big in cowboy action shooting. That's where I met him. We were both very competitive with each other. But one of the things we found was that in cowboy action shooting, the fortunate thing is we have a lot of older competitors who are, they have a lot of life experience. It's a great place to grow up in. But we have a lot of older cowboy shooters who pass on, and they typically have a lot of guns they need to sell. And what Spencer found was you can only watch your friend's widow sell guns for pennies on the dollar before you have to kind of do something about it. So it really started in the cowboy action shooting world. And the more guns you sell online, the more people find you and bring you guns to sell. And then we got to the point where we're sending road crews all across the country. We've done freight shipments from Hawaii and Alaska. We've been all the way up to Maine, down to the Florida Keys, and everywhere in between. So a lot of it is word of mouth. I like to think that we do a good enough job that people that we sell for tell their friends. And we have a pretty big online presence. So a lot of people come to us and say, hey, I have these guns and they're in North Carolina, and we'll send a truck out with a couple of guys who will, get them all listed, packed up, and bring them back here to Cody, where we'll get them all set up for auction.
Wow. The whole idea is awesome. You've seen like the Antique Roadshow, and you've seen a lot of these, antique-y type of shows. So you guys are basically doing that. When you go and someone says, hey, Bud, I've got 12 guns here in North Carolina, like, what all goes into that? You go and you look them over, you kind of get an idea of if they'd be worth selling, or how do you go about that?
Yeah, I mean, we can sell just about anything. I mean, there are going to be some guns, I like to call them the video game guns, are typically going to do better on GunBroker because that clientele is very online. But then, you know, you get some amazing Winchester collection that just pops up in Oregon. And the people who are looking for those Winchesters are looking at the live auction venues. So we, you know, if we have somebody, and we did, who has three or four, one of 100 or one of 1,000 Winchesters, that's probably going to go to the live auction. But we have an eBay department. We've sold Hot Wheels collections.
Oh, wow.
Believe it or not, there are people who collect Playboy magazines, and we've helped sell off some of those for a widow who no longer needs them around the house. So it's not really an idea of what's worth selling. We, you know, Spencer likes to joke, part of the service we offer is we'll clean your garage out for you.
All right.
So the goal is to have it be sort of a turnkey operation. If you tell us you want us to sell stuff for you, someone will show up. We'll get it all identified, listed. We do have a very knowledgeable staff here that the road crews can communicate with and send us pictures. So if they don't know what they're looking at, we can find out for them, help them get an idea of what it is they're looking at. But we, you know, our goal is to allow the consigners to be as involved as they want to be. But if you want two guys to show up with a truck, take away all the stuff, sell it for you, and mail you a check, we can do everything in between, from you can be involved as much as you want to a total turnkey operation.
Do you just do firearms and firearm accessories? Is that pretty much the majority?
That's really our wheelhouse. Like I said, I mean, we have an eBay department who's gotten very adept at figuring out whatever it is they have in front of them. I don't know how interesting it is to everybody not in the auction business, but when we did get that Hot Wheels collection, it was a former board member from the Hot Wheels Collectors Association. And it turns out that there are some Hot Wheels cars that are worth, you know, $15,000, $20,000.
Oh, wow.
If they're still sealed in the box and the bubble wrap isn't all crinkled. So a lot of it is a skill of being able to look at what you have in front of you, identify what it is. And if you find out, these aren't just knives, these are Randall knives, you know, then our staff is going to be able to figure that out and get it sold, whatever it happens to be.
That's fantastic. Again, talking with Bud at Lock, Stock & Barrel Auctions in Cody, where the big auction coming up Saturday and Sunday, September 27, 28, with the preview on the 26th. Now, you have an 8-hour preview. How long will it take a person, if they're really interested, to go through and just put their eyes on everything in the room?
It would be very difficult to put your eyes on everything in the room. The catalog is hosted on our website. You're actually able to log in and bid through our website if you can't make it physically to the auditorium. But one of the nice things about having such a wide variety of items is, like I said, we have a little over 800, I think it's 827 items in the auction. But if you're there for Winchester lever guns, you'd be able to get through all the Winchester lever guns in that 8-hour period. If you're there for antique American double shotguns, you'd be able to get through all of those. But getting through all of the items would be quite a task in 8 hours.
Is there anything in this particular auction that you're really excited to see go?
Winchester 1866 has got the full nickel finish. I'm really excited about that one. It's the only full nickel I've ever seen. We have a couple of other very interesting Winchesters. There's a 73 carbine that was ordered from the factory with nickel and gold finish, factory engraved. So that's a very interesting gun. From my perspective, I like seeing guns go at auction that there aren't really comparisons for. You know, you're not going to find a lot of those specific guns that have sold in the last 5-10 years has been a thing, so you can't just Google it and find out. And that's one of those places where the auction is a wonderful format, because if you don't know what it's really worth, you put it up at auction and the bidders will let you know what it's worth. So it's kind of like you're discovering the value of the gun through the auction process.
That's so cool. And if you're a collector, you know, Civil War stuff, you're going to have all kinds of stuff there. If you want to see the full catalog and register to bid, lsbauctions.com. And Bud, I know that it's going to be a heck of a month getting this all set up and ready to go by the end of the month. And how many folks do you expect to be there at the live auction?
You know, it's been going up every year that we, or I'm sorry, every auction that we have it. We haven't quite filled out the actual auction floor in the auditorium, but it got pretty close last time. I'm trying to remember what the fire marshal restrictions were, but I would expect around about 100 people at any given time. We will have food and beverage available for anybody who shows up. So that's helped bring some people in. I got to meet the Linebaugh family, which is exciting for me as a gun guy. But the old man Linebaugh's grandson is now doing barbecue, and he's very, very good at barbecue.
It's so cool. And, you know, this is going to be one of those auctions that you're going to want to put on your calendar every time there is a live auction. Or, again, if you can't get there, like Bud said, go to lsbauctions.com and see the entire catalog and register big. And to get into the auditorium, is there a cover charge, an entry fee?
No cover charge, no entry fee. You just need to walk through the door while we're open.
Very good. Well, Bud, Lock, Stock, and Barrel Auctions, I appreciate it and look forward to really hearing how this goes. And hopefully I'll be able to get up and see one of the days. That'll be kind of cool to see.
Oh, no, that'd be very neat. And we look forward to seeing everybody who does show up. And we've got some very nice items for you guys to look at and bid on.
Awesome. Bud, thank you so much.
No, of course. Thank you.
Again, you want to check that out. It's lsbauctions.com, and it's in Cody on the 27th and 28th. Thanks again for joining us here on Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors. Another great show coming next week. And, of course, remember, you can download and stream all of our episodes on demand now at the radio station's app.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with Drew Kirby. If you have a question, want to make a comment, or have an idea for a show topic, message us on the My Country mobile app. Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.